إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. قبل أن أبدأ حديثي حول هذه الآية العظيمة، آية الابتلاء وآية النصر، أشكر فضيلة الشيخ خالد العنبري حفظه الله على ما أفاد وأجاد، فجزاه الله خيرا، فقد استعرض جوانب كثيرة وعوامل نصر الأمة، وأن الأمة لا يمكن أن تنصر بمجرد انتمائها وانتسابها للإسلام، فجزاه الله خيرا. الآية مرة أخرى قوله تعالى: أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله ألا إن نصر الله قريب. وهذه الآية نظائرها متكررة في الكتاب المجيد، فمن نظائرها قوله تعالى ألف لام ميم: أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين. وكذلك قوله تعالى: ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. وكذا قوله: أم حسبتم أن تتركوا ولما يعلم الله الذين جاهدوا منكم ويعلم الصابرين، إلى غير ذلك من آيات كثيرة في هذا المقام، وكلها تبين وتؤكد أن الابتلاء سنة ماضية في الأمم لتمحيصها وغربلتها وفلترتها وتنقيتها، ليميز الله الخبيث من الطيب، ليعلم الله وهو الأعلم بأحوال عباده، فهو يعلم السر وأخفى، ليعلم الله الصادق من الكاذب والمؤمن من المنافق والتقي من الفاجر والسعيد من الشقي والسني من البدعي والحنفي من الجنفي، الحنيف والجنيف بينهما نقطة، الحنيف في المشرق والجنيف في المغرب، والفرق بينهما نقطة، فإن الحنيف هو الذي ترك الشرك إلى التوحيد والكفر إلى الإيمان، والجنيف ضد ذلك. فالله عز وجل كما تفضل الشيخ قال: وإن كانت هذه الآية نزلت في أصحاب نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم فهي عامة للأمة إلى يوم الدين. لأمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وعلماء التفسير والأصول يقولون إن العبرة بعموم اللفظ لا بخصوص السبب. فهذه الآية ليست فقط للصحابة، بل هي لكل مسلم آمن بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا ورسولا. فالابتلاء يكون للمسلم، والنصر يأتي والتمكين بعد الصبر وبعد العود وبعد الرجوع إلى الله وبعد الأخذ بأسباب النصر. أم حسبتم، أي هل ظننتم أن تدخلوا الجنة، أتظنون أن الجنة تدخل هكذا بالتحلي والتمني؟ كل واحد يتمنى الجنة، لكن هل الجنة بهذه السهولة أن يدخلها الصالح والطالح والمؤمن والمنافق والمؤمن، ويدخلها الشقي والسعيد على حد سواء، ويدخلها الخبيث والطيب؟ حاشا لله، ليس هذا من عدل الله ولا من حكمة الله ولا من سنة الله. أفنجعل المسلمين كالمجرمين؟ ما لكم كيف تحكمون؟ وإلا لو كان الأمر كذلك لاستوى الخبيث والطيب، واستوى الجاهل والعالم، واستوى المشرك مع الموحد، وحاشا لله. فإن الله خلق الجنة وخلق لها أهلا لا يدخلونها إلا برحمة الله أولا، والله لا يرحم إلا المؤمنين المحسنين الموحدين الذين أخذوا بأسباب الرحمة. إن رحمة الله قريب من المحسنين. وخلق الله النار وهي موجودة، كما أن الجنة موجودة تنتظر أهلها، والحور العين ينتظرن أزواجهن. فإذا أغضبت المرأة الحورة الطينية زوجها في الدنيا، قالت زوجته الحورية في الجنة. وانظروا كيف أن الله يسمع إيذاء هذا الزوج من زوجته في الدنيا إلى زوجته في الجنة. قالت زوجته من الحور العين في الجنة: لا تغضبيه، قاتلك الله، إنما هو عندك دخيل يوشك أن يفارقك إلينا. والنار مخلوقة موجودة ولها أهل، تكاد تميز من الغيظ، تنتظر المجرمين والجبابرة والمشركين والمنافقين ليكونوا حطب جهنم. إذن هناك جنة عرضها السماوات والأرض، لا تنال بالتحلي ولا بالتمني. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: ألا هل من مشمر لها؟ فيقول الصحابة: نحن المشمرون لها يا رسول الله. وكان يقول لبعض الصحابة أو ماذا أعددت للجنة وماذا فعلت، وكان يحث أصحابه على العمل للجنة. ومن أسباب دخول الجنة الصبر الذي هو قدر حتمي على كل مؤمن، الصبر عند المصيبة، عند المصائب، عند الابتلاءات، عند النكبات. ولا بد من الابتلاء، والابتلاء قدر المؤمنين من الأولين إلى الآخرين. وكان أنبياء الله أشد خلق الله ابتلاءً، فهذه الآية: أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم منهم الأنبياء، على رأسهم الأنبياء، خلوا يعني مضوا. ألم يبتلى إبراهيم عليه السلام حينما حطم الأصنام ودعا قومه للتوحيد وحارب الشرك بأن ألقي في النار فصبر، فجعل الله النار بردا وسلاما عليه؟ بلى. ألم يبتلى موسى عليه السلام كليم الله وآذاه اليهود واتهموه في رجولته: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تكونوا كالذين آذوا موسى، فبرأه الله مما قال وكان عند الله وجيها. ألم يبتلى أنبياء بني إسرائيل بالقتل والتكذيب؟ فريقا كذبتم وفريقا تقتلون، حتى قتلوا مئات الأنبياء. ألم يبتلى نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم أشد الابتلاء فألقي على رأسه سل الجزور وهو ساجد، وأدميت قدميه بالحجارة، أدميت قدماه بالحجارة، وأخرج صلى الله عليه وسلم هو وأصحابه، وحوصر في الشعب، شعب أبي طالب، هو وأصحابه 3 سنوات حتى أكلوا أوراق الشجر، وابتلوا يوم الخندق حينما تكالبت عليهم الأحزاب، فحكى الله عز وجل ما أصابهم في ذلك اليوم، إذ قال سبحانه وتعالى: إذ جاءوكم من فوقكم ومن أسفل منكم وإذ زاغت الأبصار وبلغت القلوب الحناجر وتظنون بالله الظنونا هنالك ابتلي المؤمنون وزلزلوا زلزالا شديدا، أي خوفا ورعبا شديدا. إذ أحاط الأحزاب بالمدينة هكذا وكانوا في مرمى نبالهم ورماحهم، فأرسل الله عز وجل عليهم ريحا صرصرا، ونصرهم ونصر الله نبيه بالرعب. فالله عز وجل يقول لعباده المؤمنين في كل وقت وحين: هل ظننتم أن تدخلوا الجنة، الجنة لها ثمن، الجنة لها ثمن، الجنة غالية، ألا إن سلعة الله غالية، ألا إن سلعة الله هي الجنة، لابد من جهاد واجتهاد، لابد من بذل وعطاء، لابد من صبر، لابد من أن تبتلى في بدنك، في مالك، في نفسك، في أبنائك، في إخوانك، لا بد أن تبتلى بكل عزيز، كما تقدم في الآية: ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين. فالذين خلوا قد وقع عليهم الابتلاء، وهذا فيه تسلية وتعزية ومواساة للمؤمنين الأولين، للصحابة رضي الله عنهم، أن هذا الابتلاء قد مضى في من قبلهم وهم أتباع خير الأنبياء، فمن باب أولى أن يصبروا كما صبر أولئك. وقد ذكرنا فضيلة الشيخ جزاه الله خيرا كيف أن خباب بن الأرت رضي الله عنه، الصحابي الجليل، يأتي والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم متوسد برد له في ظل الكعبة، والحديث في البخاري، فيكشف عن ظهره وقد أحرق المشركون ظهره، جردوه وألقوه على ظهره على الجمر ووطأوا على صدره فماذا جرى له؟ احترق ظهره ودخل الجمر في ظهره وترك حفرا وندبا في ظهره، يعني انطفأ الجمر بودك ظهره، وهذا غاية في التحريق والتعذيب. فقال يا رسول الله بعد أن أراه: ألا تستنصر لنا؟ يعني يا رسول الله أنت مستجاب الدعوة، لو دعوت الله على المشركين لا أخذهم الله أخذ عزيز مقتدر، أنت يا رسول الله لك يعني منزلة ودعاءك مستجاب، ادعو عليهم يا رسول الله حتى ربنا يريحنا منهم ويقتص منهم ويشفي صدورنا. ألا تستنصر لنا؟ يعني تطلب النصر من الله أن ينصرنا، ألا تدعو لنا؟ فالرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يريد أن يربي أمه ويريد يبين له أن هذه المرحلة لابد منها، مرحلة الابتلاء، لأن هذه محن والمحن يأتي وراها المنح. المنح المحنة إذا كانت لله وفي الله وصبر صاحبها وثبت، فيكون بعدها الرقي والتمكين والولاية، ويكون بعدها المنح. انظروا كيف لما اشتد أذى المشركين لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وضيقوا عليه، ماذا فعل الله به؟ رفعه مكانا عليا، عرج به، أرسل إليه جبريل وجيء بالمعراج، أسري به إلى المسجد الأقصى، ونزل الأنبياء جميعا فأمهم كلهم تبع له، وعرج به من المسجد الأقصى إلى السماوات العلى يحييه ويسلم عليه كل أهل سماء ملائكة السماوات، إلى أن وصل إلى مقام سمع فيه صريف أقلام القدر، مقام لم يبلغه لا ملك مقرب ولا نبي مرسل، حتى لم يكن بينه وبين ربه إلا حجاب النور. شوفوا الإكرام. وهذا بعد كل بلاء وصبر على البلاء يأتي التمكين. لهذا لكم يا أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ويا أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أسوة حسنة في أولئك المعذبين أولئك المبتلين. فهذا خباب واحد من الصحابة، واحد من مئات الذين عذبوا، أبو بكر صديق هذه الأمة عذب في الله وضرب بالنعل على وجهه، وجهه على وجه الذي يسجد لله حتى تغيرت ملامح وجهه، لا أنف يعرف من وجهه. وأول ما أفاق راح في غيبوبة، وأول ما أفاق قال: ما فعل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ عمار وياسر وسمية، سمية أول شهيدة في الإسلام ما فعل بها اللعين أبو جهل، بلال الحبشي مؤذن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ماذا لقي من العذاب؟ توضع على صدره الصخرة على الأرض الملتهبة، وأرض الجزيرة العرب معروف، ويوضع على صدره الصخرة العظيمة ويلهب بالسياط وهو يقول: أحد 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 أحد، لا يصده ذلك عن دينه، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لخباب في الأمم السابقة، قال: قد كان في من قبلكم يؤتى بالرجل فتحفر له حفرة ويؤتى بالمنشار فيفرق نصفين، يعني كيف اللحام الآن يعلق الذبيحة ثم يضربها بالسطور فيجعل نصفين يد ورجل ويد ورجل، ويؤتى بأمشاط الحديد، هو مات من مجرد أن قطع جزلتين خلاص انتهى، لكن نكاية وزيادة في التعليم من أجل الذين ينظرون إليه الآخرين حتى يفتنوا على دينه، زيادة في الترعيب والإرهاب والتخويف، ويؤتى بأمشاط الحديد فيؤخذ لحمه عن عظمه، ما يصده ذلك عن دينه؟ والله يقسم الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام وهو أصدقه البشر. والله ليتمن الله هذا الأمر، يعني هذا الدين، هذا الأمر ما أنا عليه وأصحابي، هذا الأمر الدين الأول اللي الشيخ جزاه الله خير ذكره في حديث أكثر من مرة، الدين الأول الإسلام المصفى، إسلام محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه، لا إسلام المعتزلة ولا الخوارج ولا الباطنية ولا العقلانية ولا الصوفية ولا الأشاعرة ولا غير من فرق الضلال. إسلام الحق ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. والله ليتمن الله هذا الأمر حتى يسير الراكب من صنعاء إلى حضرموت لا يخشى أو لا يخاف إلا الله والذئب على غنمه ولكنكم تستعجلون. تستعجلون لأنه لابد النصر يحتاج لابد له من صبر، التمكين لابد له من ابتلاء. تستعجلون يعني الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام كان بسهولة من السهل أن يدعو ودعاء مستجاب، لكنه يريد أن يربي أمة، يريد للأمة ألا تتجاوز مرحلة الابتلاء، وأن هذا قدر كائن ولابد، لأن الأمة لا تترقى إلا إذا ابتليت. ولما كان الإسلام عظيما في قلوبهم والعقيدة راسخة في باطنهم ثبتوا عند الابتلاء. أما اليوم للأسف واحد يبتلى أو يمتحن بالفقر أو بالجوع أو بأي ابتلاء ترى والعياذ بالله يحلق لحيته ويشرد من ربه شرود البعير من أهله وكأنه ليس له علاقة بالإسلام والعياذ بالله إلا بالإسم، ويظن أن هذا عذاب من الله له وينسى آيات الابتلاء وآيات الصبر. مستهم البأساء والضراء، البأساء الفقر المدقع، والضراء الأذى البدني والنفسي، وزلزلوا أي خوفوا. والابتلاء يكون بالسراء والضراء، وبعض الناس أكثر الناس يبتلى بالضراء فيصبر ويبتلى بالسراء فيفتن والعياذ بالله، تفتح عليه الدنيا فيفتن. كلا إن الإنسان لا يطغى أن رآه استغنى. ولهذا قال بعض السلف ابتلينا بالضراء فصبرنا وابتلينا بالسراء فلم نصبر. وكان النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يربط الحجر والحجرين على بطنه من الجوع، ولو شاء لجعل الله له الصفا والمروة ذهبا وفضة، وكان ينام على الحصير فيعلم في جنبه الشريف ويقول له عمر يا رسول الله تنام على الحصير وكسرى وقيصر على الفرش والديباج، فيقول أولئك أقوام عجلت لهم طيباتهم في الحياة الدنيا، لا ترضى أن تكون لنا الآخرة ولهم الدنيا يا عمر. حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر. ليس هذا شكا في نصر الله، حاشا لله، حاشا لله أن يشك الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام والصحابة من نصر الله، لأنه موعود بالنصر، موعود بالنصر. وما كان الله ليعذبهم وأنت فيهم، وما كان الله معذبهم وهم يستغفرون. إنا لننصر رسلنا والذين آمنوا في الحياة الدنيا ويوم يقوم الأشهاد. نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام موعود بالنصر، لكن أصحابه رضي الله عنهم قد يستبطئ النصر فيلهجون ويلجؤون إلى الله ويستنصرون الله، كما فعل خباب وقال ألا تستنصر لنا يا رسول الله. فهنا حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله، يعني يستعجلون نصر الله ويستنزلون نصر الله ويستفتحون على الذين كفروا. ف فالله يبشرهم ألا إن نصر الله قريب، لأن رحمة الله قريب من المؤمنين والنصر من رحمة الله. ولكن كما تفضل الشيخ لا بد من تعاطي أسباب النصر، وسنتكلم إن شاء الله فيما بعد عن أسباب النصر والتمكين إن شاء الله مما يعني يحضرني، وأسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بنا وبكم ما نسمع.
شيخ أبو أنس حفظه الله، Before I start explaining this great ayah that we are talking about, which is the ayah of al-ibtila, the ayah of trial, and the ayah of al-nasr, the ayah of victory, the Shaykh Abdullah says that I thank Shaykh Khalid al-Anbari حفظه الله for the beneficial advice and information that he provided us with. So he says, may Allah reward him with good, that he has explained in a beautiful way the reasons and the conditions for the victory of the Ummah, and that the Ummah will not achieve victory by mere wishing and wishful thinking. The Shaykh Abdullah says the verse is, he narrated the verse, then he says that there are so many verses in the Quran that explain the same meaning and talk about the same subject. For example, the verse Alif Lam Mim, أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. Alif Lam Mim, do the people think that they will be let to say we believe while they have not been tested yet? ولقد فتن الذين من قبلهم فلا يعلمن الله الذين صدقوا ولا يعلمن الكاذبين. Verily we have tested those who came before them, and we tested those who came before them, and Allah shall make clear and make known those who are truthful and those who are liars. And another verse that talks about the same thing is the verse وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. And we shall try you with some of fear, some of hunger, and loss of wealth, and loss of souls, people, and loss of crops. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And give glad tidings to the patient ones. الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. Those are the ones when they are tried with hardship, with calamity, they say, from Allah we come and to Allah we return, or to Allah we belong and to Allah we return. أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. Those are the ones upon whom there are blessings from Allah سبحانه وتعالى, and those are the ones who are rightly guided. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse as well that talks about the same thing and the same principle. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تُتْرَكُوا وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Do you think that you shall be left alone and Allah has not made clear and known those who have strived in His way from amongst you, and Allah makes known those who are truly patient? And there are many other verses in the Quran that talk about the same thing. All of them emphasize the fact that trials, that al-ibtila, trials, is a sunnah from the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is from the ways that Allah deals with His creation. And by means of these sunnah or these ways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies the nation, purifies the people and the ranks of the believers. And it elevates the state of the believers, and it discards or it removes from the believers the fake ones and the hypocrites. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by means of trials and ordeals, He tests the people, and He knows what is in the heart of His servants. He knows about them. He knows everything about them. But Allah will make clear, Allah wants to make clear to everyone who is truthful and who is lying. Allah wants to make clear the distinction between the believer and the hypocrite, between the righteous and the sinner, between the one who's upon the sunnah and the one who's upon innovation, and the one who's upon tawheed and the one who's upon other than that. And this verse that we are talking about has been sent to the Prophet ﷺ and to his companions, And although it was sent specifically to the companions, addressing the companions, but this address extends to the whole Ummah of Al-Islam. And as the scholars of Tafsir and the scholars of Usul, principles of Fiqh, they say that the meaning of the verse or the intent behind the verse or any text from the texts of Sharia, it is considered by its general meaning, not to the occasion that it was specifically sent to. It is sent to a specific occasion, but the whole ruling covers the whole of nation. So this verse is not only directed to the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, but it is directed to every Muslim who believes in Allah being his Lord, and in Al-Islam being his religion, and in Muhammad ﷺ being his Prophet and Messenger. So trials for the Muslim is the Sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and victory and establishment on the earth and being given dominance over the earth, it comes only after patience. And after referring to or turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after taking the means necessary to achieve victory. Allah is saying, do you think, do you think that paradise will be entered like that by wishful thinking, by mere wishes? Everyone actually wishes to enter paradise, but it is not so easy. And it will not be entered by the mu'min, the believer and the disbeliever. It will not be entered by the righteous and the sinner. It will not be entered by the one who is upon the sunnah and the one who is upon the bid'ah. This is not from the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but from the sunnah of Allah, the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ. Shall we make the believers like the criminals, like the sinners, like the mushrikeen? مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. What's wrong with you? Why do you judge that way? So if the case were so that everyone would enter paradise by wishing, then the person of knowledge, the people of knowledge and the ignorant would be equal and would be the same. The mushrik, the polytheist, and the believer, the monotheist, they would be the same. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created paradise, al-jannah, and He created its people for it. And the Shaykh Hafidhahullah is saying, they will enter, these righteous people, they will enter paradise by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah gives His mercy only to the ones who follow His religion, the ones who take whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. So the paradise, al-jannah, exists now. It is existent. And the Shaykh Abdullah is saying, al-hur al-een, in al-jannah they are waiting for their husbands, for their men. And even the Prophet said in the hadith that when the wife of a believer in this life, she makes him angry, or she doesn't deal with him properly, respectfully, then his wife from Al-Hur Al-Een in paradise, she says to this woman, to his woman in this life, she says to her, may Allah fight you. Don't anger him, don't enrage him, don't cause him anger. He is with you only for a short time, then he's returning to us, or he's coming to us. And the Shaykh Hafidhullah is saying that the hellfire is existent, it exists today, it is present. And it is waiting for its fuel from the mushrikeen, the disbelievers and the criminals. Then the Shaykh Abdullah, as he said, that Al-Jannah, paradise, will not be attained by mere wishing. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said, أَلَا مِن مُشَمِّرٍ لَهَا. Well, mushammirin in the Arabic language is the one who folds up his sleeves. That means when you are doing hard work, you fold up your sleeves. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying, anyone who's mushammir, anyone who's ready to do hard work for the Jannah. So the companions used to say, we are the mushammirun, we are those ones that you're looking for, who want to do hard work in order to enter paradise. And the Prophet ﷺ used to ask the companions every now and again, what have you prepared for paradise? What have you prepared? And he used to encourage them in order to do more righteous deeds. So the reasons to enter paradise are patience. So no one will enter paradise without being patient with the trials that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends to him. And it is, as we said, the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to try his servants. No one is going to run away or get away from hardships and ordeals. So he has to have patience. And every Muslim, it's a necessary or it's an integral part of his character is to have patience. And will all the prophets that came before and all the righteous people who followed them, all of them were tried. And the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the ones who will receive the severest trials. So the ayah says, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ, do you think that you shall enter paradise while the trials that came to those who were before you have not come to you yet? So those who came before you, those who came before you mainly refers to the Prophet who came before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Didn't Ibrahim, or wasn't Ibrahim tried by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Did not he destroy the idols, and then he was taken by his people and thrown into the fire, then Allah made it cool for him? And wasn't Musa alayhi salam, wasn't he tried by his people and they hurt him and they accused him in terms of his manhood? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ آذَوْا مُوسَى فَبَرَّأَهُ اللَّهُ مِمَّا قَالُوا. O you who believe, do not be like those who harmed Musa by accusing him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freed him from their accusation. Were not the prophets of Bani Israel, the children of Israel, were not they tried by torture, by being tortured and being killed and murdered? Because actually the children of Israel, they killed hundreds of prophets that Allah sent to them. Then wasn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, tried when some of the disbelievers, when he was making sujood, he brought the intestine of a camel with all the filth that it contains, he put it on the head of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was making sujood, when he was prostrating. Were not the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made to bleed by the stones that the people threw on him? Was not he expelled from his from Mecca, from his town? Was not he boycotted with his people in the Sha'ib, in the valley of in the valley for 3 years, to the extent that they had to eat the leaves of trees because they found no food whatsoever, because people boycotted them completely? And the Muslims, and with the Prophet ﷺ, they were tried during the Battle of Al-Khandaq, the Battle of the Trench, where all the disbelievers, they gathered together to kill the Muslims and wipe them off. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this, إِذْ جَاءُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ. They came to you from above, from underneath. وَإِذْ جَاءُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ. And your eyes would swerve all around out of fear and confusion, and your throats, or your hearts would jump up to your throats out of extreme fear. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. In that occasion, during that occasion, the Muslims were tried severely and were shaken from inside. So that was extreme fear that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions suffered from. Even if the disbelievers or the Muslims, they were within the range of the arrows of the disbelievers, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent that wind and it took them away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even granted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam victory by means of of terror, by making the disbelievers fear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his army. So Allah is saying in this verse, do you think that you will enter paradise? Do you think paradise is something easy to enter? There's a price that you have to pay for this. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ غَالِيَ عَلَى إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Verily the commodity that Allah is offering to the people is al-jannah. Verily the commodity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is offering is very expensive, it's valuable. So there must be striving, there must be giving and sacrifice and patience, and there must be trials and ordeals in the body, in the wealth, and in the children, and in the brothers, and in everything. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the verse that we mentioned, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. We shall try you with some of fear, some of hunger, and loss of wealth, and of souls, and of crops, and give the glad tidings to the patient ones. So, now Allah says in this verse, like those who were before you, they were tried. So, those who came before, they were tried with hardships, with ordeals. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in this verse, or this fact in this verse, as a consolation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companion. And that trial, or trying the people, is from the sunan, from the ways that, with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with his creation. And the followers of the prophets, all of them, they suffered that kind of trial. So everyone should be patient, and the companions should be patient. So this is why Khabbab al-Arat, in the hadith that Shaykh Khalid al-Anbari hafizahullah mentioned, which is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari, when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was lying down on his side in the shade of the Kaaba. So he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he exposed or he uncovered his back to show the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the signs of the torture that he suffered at the hands of the disbelievers, because they burnt his back. They put his back on coal, on fire, burning, and all the coal was sticking to his back. And then when they put him on that coal, they stepped on him, so that the coal was put off or was put out by the fat that came from his body. So this is how severe and extreme the punishment that they suffered from was. So Khabbab al-Arat, after suffering all that and showing the Prophet ﷺ the scars and the signs of burning that were on his back, he said to the Prophet ﷺ, "Don't you call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us victory?" Because he means that your supplication is answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why don't you supplicate to Allah to give us His mercy and He rids us of these disbelievers instead of them torturing us? So the Prophet ﷺ wants to cultivate and educate his people, the companions. And he wants to show and make clear to them that this stage of trial is necessary. It is important. They have to go through it. There's no way around it. So, and as we know for fact and for surety, that every trial after it, there is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the ways with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with the creation, if the person has patience. So if the person is patient in the face of the ordeals and the calamities that they come to him, Allah will turn his ordeal into a blessing from him. Consider what happened to the Prophet ﷺ when the harm of the disbelievers became very extreme and hard upon him to endure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him this honor, and he favored him by the journey of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj. He took him to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, and from there, and he made all the prophets come down to the Masjid Al-Aqsa. So the Prophet was leading the prayer, so that it shows that he is their imam. And then he ascended to the heavens. So everything or every creature in the heavens and between the heavens, they were giving him salam until he reached a high status and a high altitude where no prophet, no angel, no creature has ever reached that high level, where he could hear the noise or the sound of the pen writing the qadr, the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how high the Prophet reached during the journey of Al-Mi'raj. So this is a very high position that Allah granted the Prophet. When did it come? After he was tried severely by the disbelievers. So after trials and being patient in the face of them, then At-Tamkeen, which is establishing and dominance over the earth and empowerment, comes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in this verse, He's addressing the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, saying that in those who came before you, there's a good example for you in terms of patience in the face of ordeals. So Khabbab ibn al-Arad, this companion who came to complain to the Prophet ﷺ, was amongst hundreds of the companions who were tortured. Even Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, was tortured, and even he was hit on his face with the shoes of one of the disbelievers until the features of his face disappeared completely. So no one could tell where his nose was, where his eyes was, because of the severity of that assault that he was subjected to. And when he woke up and he lost consciousness after that, when he first woke up and came to and retained consciousness, the first thing he said, what happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Even Ammar ibn Yasir and his father Yasir, and Sumayya, the first shahida, the first woman martyr in Islam, and with all the torture that Abu Jahl inflicted on her, and even Bilal, the muadhin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was put on the sand, and then a massive rock was put on his chest, and then he was whipped severely under the blazing sun. All the time he was saying Ahadun Ahad, sticking to the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling Khabbab ibn al-Arat, he's teaching him a lesson. He's saying that those who came before you, a man, one of them would be brought, and they would dig some kind of hole for him in the ground. Then he would be split by that saw, like the butcher does to the sheep when he slaughters that sheep, and he starts peeling its skin off, and it starts cutting it off into pieces. This is the same as was done to the believers before the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then that man, he would be brought, and his body would be combed by that these combs of iron, in order to split his flesh and his nerves from his bones. And all this because he had already died at that stage. But this is a lesson, or this is sort of making the other believers who watch this, make them fear and abandon and give up their religion. Then the Prophet ﷺ then gave assurance to Khabbab al-Arat. He said, verily Allah, or by Allah, Allah shall perfect and establish this affair, which is the religion of Islam, which is the original message of Islam that the Messenger ﷺ and his companions were upon. It's not the message of Al-Khawarij or Al-Mu'tazila or those people who claim to be the intellectuals of this Ummah at this time, or the modernists or all that stuff. It's not that their Islam, but it's the Islam of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. So then the Messenger ﷺ said to Khabbab, verily a man would walk from Sana'a to Hadramaut in Al-Yaman, fearing only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fearing the wolf to jump on his sheep. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have easily supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his supplication is answered. But he wants to educate his ummah, he wants to cultivate them, and make clear to them that we cannot go round, we cannot bypass this stage of trials and ordeals. So as this message of Islam is great, and they honored it, the companions honored it in their hearts, and they gave it its true worth, and the aqidah of Islam was well established, was deep rooted in their hearts, they remained firm in the face of trials and torture. So and we can see now, to set a comparison between that generation and the people today, we can see that some people now, they are tried with poverty. You find them resort to anything to get away with that poverty. So you find the person shaving his beard, and he runs away from the religion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the camel runs away from the shepherd. And he thinks that this trial, which is poverty, is a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it's a torture. And he forgets the verses about the trial and about the test to the believers, and the verses about having patience. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verse that those who were before you, they were tried and they were shaken severely. وَزُلْزِلُوا. They were shaken severely. So from the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that trial, there are two means for trial: with hardship and with blessings, with favors from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh Abdullah says that many people, they are very strong and firm in the face of hardships and ordeals. But when they are tried with blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abundance of wealth and favors from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they fail that kind of test. So this is why one of the Salaf said, we were tried by means of hardships and we remained firm, but then we were tried by blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by abundance in wealth and the pleasures of this world, but we could not remain patient in the face of these trials, which is the blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favors. So even the Prophet ﷺ suffered great hardships. For example, out of hunger, he would put one rock or two rocks on his belly, on his stomach, and he would tie them severely so that he doesn't feel hunger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he could have given him, or could have transformed As-Safa wal-Marwa, the mountains of As-Safa wal-Marwa, and made them into gold. But this is a sunnah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to try. And the Prophet ﷺ would sit on a mat, a cheap kind of mat, and Umar used to come to him and say to him, O Messenger of Allah, you're sitting on this, or you're sleeping on this, and it left some marks on the skin of the Prophet ﷺ. So he said, you are sitting on this while Kisra, or the king of the Persians, he's living in abundance of wealth and all the pleasures of this life. So the Prophet ﷺ said, these people, the blessings of all these the luxurious things of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have been given to them in this life so that they will not have it in the hereafter. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, to the extent they will be tried, to the extent that the messenger and those are with him, they would say, Mata Nasrullah, when the victory or the help of Allah will come, when will it come to us? This is not some kind of doubt in the victory and the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the Prophet ﷺ has been promised victory. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. And Allah was not to punish them while you are amongst them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُلَنَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ. Verily, we give victory to our messengers in this life and in the next, when the people will be resurrected. So the companions of the Prophet or the Prophet ﷺ, they might fall into they think or they feel that victory has been delayed. It needs some duration. So they want to hasten it. So they supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Khabbab came to the Prophet ﷺ to say to him, supplicate to Allah on our behalf to give us victory. So the Prophet ﷺ, until the Prophet ﷺ says, and those with him would say, مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ, when the victory from Allah will come. So they hasten. They want Allah to hasten victory, granting them victory. And they supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. So Allah gives them the glad tidings at the end of the verse by saying, أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Verily, the victory or the help from Allah is near. So we must, or the people or the believers, they must achieve the conditions that Allah has set. They must follow or take the means that will lead them to victory. And there are many other reasons or means to victory that we will talk about them inshaAllah shortly.
سأختصر ما استطعت لأن الترجمة تأخذ وقتا طويلا. 10 دقائق. طيب إن شاء الله 10 دقائق بالعربي. إخواني, كثير من المسلمين يقولون ما بال النصر يتخلف عنا ويعطى لأعدائنا ونحن أكثر عددا وعدة ومالا وبترولا ودولا, 54 دولة إسلامية. فالجواب, قل هو من عند أنفسكم, قل هو من عند أنفسكم. الجواب أن النصر من عند الله, وأن النصر لا يستحقه إلا أهله, وكان حقا علينا نصر المؤمنين. إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم, وإن يخذلكم فمن ذا الذي ينصركم من بعده. أما عوامل النصر والتمكين التي يعني أذكرها على السريع والتي بدت لي, وأسأل الله عز وجل أن يرد هذه الأمة إلى دينها وأن يمكن لها دينها الذي ارتضى لها, وأن يستخلفها في الأرض وأن يجعلها في صدر الأمم كما كانت, لا في ذيل الأمم كما هي الحال. أول هذه العوامل إخواني, تحقيق التوحيد والبراءة من الشرك, وتحقيق الإيمان والبراءة من الكفر. ودليل ذلك قوله تعالى, وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم, وليمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم, وليبدلنهم من بعد أمنهم خوفا, من بعد خوفهم أمنا, يعبدونني لا يشركون بي شيئا. وقوله أيضا, وكان حقا علينا نصر المؤمنين. وقوله, وأنتم الأعلون إن كنتم مؤمنين. ثانيا, العمل بالكتاب والسنة واتباع منهج السلف, لقوله تعالى, فمن اتبع هداي فلا يضل ولا يشقى. وقوله أيضا, ومن يشاقق الرسول من بعد ما تبين له الهدى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين نوله ما تولى ونصله جهنم وساءت مصيرا. وقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, تركت فيكم أمرين لن تضلوا ما إن تمسكتم بهما, كتاب الله وسنة. ثالثا, من عوامل النصر التوكل على الله, لقوله تعالى, ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه, أي كافي. رابعا, تحقيق العبودية لله, يعني أن نكون عابدين لله حقا, أن نعبد أنفسنا لله حقا. ودليل ذلك الحديث, يا مسلم يا عبد الله حينما يتكلم الحجر والشجر في آخر الزمان فيقول: يا مسلم يا عبد الله، هذا يهودي خلفي، تعالى فاقتله. خامسا، الإعداد المادي والمعنوي، الإعداد المادي والمعنوي، فلا يجوز للأمة أن تستهين، فالإعداد المادي وحده لا يكفي، والإعداد المعنوي كذلك مع وجود والقدرة على الإعداد المادي هذا خلاف سنة الله. قال الله تعالى: وأعدوا لهم ما استطعتم من قوة ومن رباط الخيل. سادسا، عدم الركون للظالمين، لأن الله يقول: ولا تركنوا إلى الذين ظلموا فتمسكم النار ثم لا تنصرون. فلا يمكن أن تنصر الأمة إذا ركنت إلى أعدائها واتخذتهم وليجة وبطانة ووالتهم على حساب الإسلام والدين، وليس يجوز للمسلم أن يوالي أعداء الله. سابعا، اجتناب المعاصي والذنوب، فإنها سبب رئيس في هلاك الأمم والشعوب، والسبب الرئيس في تأخر النصر. وقد تفضل الشيخ فذكر كيف تأخر النصر على المسلمين في أحد بسبب مخالفة أمر الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام، وكيف بسبب العجب والغرور بالنفس في حنين هزم الصحابة ومعهم الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام، إلا أن الله عز وجل من على نبيه في آخر المعركة، وهو الذي ثبت وقل من الصحابة حتى تحولت الهزيمة إلى نصر. ودليل ذلك قول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام الحديث المشهور: إذا تبايعتم بالعين، إلى آخره، إلى قوله: سلط الله عليكم ذلا لا ينزع حتى ترجعوا إلى دينكم. كذلك من عوامل النصر الصبر والثبات. قال الله تعالى: كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله والله مع الصابرين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما النصر مع الصبر. يعني فالصبر عاقبته النصر، إن مع العسر يسرا، لأن كلما اشتدت الأزمات جاء الفرج، والفجر يظهر بعد آخر ساعة حالكة من السواد من الليل. تاسعا أو ثامنا، الاجتماع والبعد عن التفرق والتنازع والاعتصام بحبل الله جميعا. قال الله تعالى: ولا تنازعوا فتفشلوا وتذهب ريحكم، أي قوتكم. فالتنازع سبب للضعف والهوان وطمع الأعداء، ولولا أن أمتنا متنازعة متفرقة بعيدة عن دينها لكانت أكبر قوة ضاربة في الأرض يخافها أعداؤها. وقال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: عليكم بالجماعة، فإنما يأكل الذئب من الغنم القاصية. تاسعا، المظلوم موعود بالنصر، وهذه الأمة مظلومة، ظلمت وبغي عليها. قال الله تعالى: ذلك ومن عاقب بمثل ما عوقب به ثم بغي عليه لينصرنه الله. ولهذا شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية كان يقسم بأن من معه من المسلمين سينصرون في هذه المرة، لأنهم هزموا من قبل أعدائهم التتار. فقيل له: يا ابن تيمية قل إن شاء الله. قال: إن شاء الله تحقيقا لا تعليقا. وكان يتأول هذه الآية: ذلك ومن عاقب بمثل ما عوقب به ثم بغي عليه لينصرنه الله. فنسأل الله بأسمائه الحسنى وصفاته العليا أن ينصر أمة الإسلام، وأن ينصرها على أنفسها، وأن يعيدها إلى دينها الحق. فهذا كما تفضل فضيلة الشيخ أول خطوات النصر، أن تنصر على نفسها، على شياطينها، على أهوائها، أن ترجع إلى دينها الحق، إلى ما كان عليه الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. وكما قال الإمام مالك: ولن يصلح آخر هذه الأمة إلا بما صلح بها أولها. هذا وبالله التوفيق، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وسلم.
Sheikh Hafizahullah, said that he will try to summarize as much as he can the reasons or the factors that lead the Muslim Ummah to victory. So Sheikh said that some Muslims say, why we are not a victorious Ummah while we have more money and more wealth and more resources than the disbelievers and the other countries? And you know, the Muslims are 54 Muslim countries. So the Shaykh says the answer to this is that what Allah said, قُلْ هُوَ مَنْ عِنْدِي أَنفُسِكُمْ, say it's from yourselves, it's from your evil actions. Because victory comes from Allah, and no one deserves it except those who fulfill the conditions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set. As he said, إِنْ تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. If you champion the religion of Allah, Allah will give you victory, and He will establish your feet firmly. And if He lets you down, then no one will give you victory. And the conditions that the Shaykh Abdullah mentioned that will lead to victory, first of all, is to achieve Tawheed and Al-Iman, and to free ourselves from Al-Kufr and polytheism. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised those of you who believe and do righteous deeds that He will give them succession and dominance over the earth after those who came before them, and He shall establish their religion for them, that that they worship Allah, and they, He shall replace their fear with security and safety, provided or after that on the, with the condition that they worship Allah alone without associating partners with Him. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and it's a right upon us to give victory to the believers. And Allah said, and you are the highest if you are truly believers. The second one is to act upon the sunnah and follow the manhaj of the salaf. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَمَنْ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. Whoever follows my guidance, he will never go astray and he will never face misery. And the Prophet, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another verse, and whoever opposes the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the truth has come to him and he follows other than the way of the believers, then we will give him that which he has chosen, and then we will make his abode the hellfire, and what an evil abode. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have left two things amongst you. If you hold on to them, you will never go astray: the book of Allah and my sunnah. The third one is at-tawakkul ala Allah, relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah said, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And whoever relies on Allah, then Allah is enough for him, Allah is sufficient for him. The third one is to achieve servitude, to achieve al-ubudiyya for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith where the Muslims will fight the Jews, and the tree and the rock will say to the Muslim, Ya Muslim, Ya Abdullah, O Muslim, O servant of Allah, there's a Jew behind me, so come and kill him. The fifth reason or factor for victory is physical and moral preparation for victory. And the Shaykh Abdullah says that they should be combined together. So only physical or financial, or in terms of equipment, preparation in terms of equipment will not be enough without moral or religious preparation. And the religious or moral preparation by itself, without the financial or the physical preparation, it will not be enough, especially if the people have the means to do that. And the proof is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ. And prepare for them or against them whatever you can from the power and the military equipment. Then the number six is that we should not be inclined to the disbelievers. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. And do not be inclined to the oppressors. فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ ثُمَّ لَا تُمْصَرُونَ. Then the fire will touch you, then you will not be victorious. So if the ummah becomes inclined and it associates itself with the disbelievers, then at the expense of their iman, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away victory from them. Number seven is to avoid sins, all sins and acts of disobedience, because they are the reasons for the destruction of the nation and for the delay of victory. As Shaykh Khalid al-Ambari hafizahullah mentioned about the battle of Uhud and the battle of Hunayn. When the battle of Hunayn, when they had some kind of arrogance or some kind of trust in themselves and their numbers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to lose the battle at the beginning, but then at the end Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam victorious with his companions when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained firm. And the Prophet and another proof for that is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that we know, إِذَا تَبَيْعَتُمْ بِالْإِنَا, if you deal with إِنَا transaction, which is a form of riba, and you hold on to the cow's tails and you become satisfied with agriculture and you abandon jihad, then Allah will impose on you a state of humiliation that He will not lift until you return to your religion. Number 8 is patience and steadfastness. As in the hadith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرًا. And how often that a little group overcomes a massive or a big in a group that is big in number, and Allah is with the patient ones. So the end of patience is victory. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّمَا النَّصْرُ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ. Verily, victory comes with patience. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا عَلْ أُسْرِ يُسْرَ. Verily, with every difficulty there is ease. So the more hard the trial becomes, then the relief is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very near. Number 9 is unity amongst the Muslims and avoiding dissension and splitting, and holding on to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah says, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. And do not have dissension amongst yourselves and differ amongst yourselves, lest you will fail, or you'll become a failure, and your power will go away. So any kind of dissension and disagreement will bring weakness to the ummah, and it will make the enemies of Islam have more ambition or more aspiration to jump on the ummah. And had it not been for the fact that the Muslims are disunited, this ummah would have been the strongest on earth. Number 10, that the one who is oppressed, he is promised victory. And this ummah has been oppressed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and anyone who has been punished, who has been oppressed, and then he takes back his right, he punishes the one who punished him equally, then he gets oppressed again, then Allah will give him victory, Allah will make him victorious. And Imam Malik, may Allah have mercy upon him, said, the end of this ummah, or the later generations of this ummah, will not be rectified and set right except by the same thing that set right the early generation. And then the Shaykh of Allah supplicated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this ummah victorious and gives us the reasons and the factors that will lead us to victory. Wa jazakumullah.
So we say jazakallah khair to the two Shaykhs. May Allah reward them well, and especially the translator, he's been very tired. Jazakumullah khair. The announcements. First is that for all the brothers and sisters, if you have questions and answers for Sheikh Salim and Sheikh Ali, who will take them after Salat al-Isha, have them all prepared, ready, inshallah, send them to the front. Try and keep the questions to the topic, inshallah. Second thing is we're going to pray Salat al-Isha. Third is that Sheikh Abu Anas, inshallah, will lead the Salat al-Isha. Jazakallah khair.